It isn't every day that one is nominated for a Grammy, and it very rarely happens for college professors at all, let alone college professors in Sacramento. But Sacramento State music professor Richard Savino has been nominated for a Grammy this year, and it's really no surprise given his track record. The guitarist lutenist is well known around the world for his classic and romantic guitar recordings, and he has played all over the world and recorded numerous albums. But his Grammy nomination this year is for his role as leader of the group El Mundo and its album Kingdoms of Castile, which is nominated for the Best Small Ensemble Performance category. Richard Savino, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here.
And congratulations. That's a Grammy. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling. It's the whole issue. It's the equivalent, as you know, of being nominated for an Oscar if you're in a movie. I'm quite excited. I've actually requested that I sit next to certain select people in the front of the Staples Center that I know will be there that are I've been a fan of for years, Lady Gaga being one.
Okay. I was expecting...
Paul McCartney will be there, Lady Gaga, you know, people like that. I think I'm not sure if Sting will be there, but it's really quite exciting that I'll be like, I doubt I'll sit next to any of these people.
Right.
But I plan to wear a meat dress.
is it about Kingdoms of Castile, your album, that earned such recognition?
It's a fantastic record. I rarely say that about my recordings, but I really attribute that to the performers that I put together. Mm-hmm. They were all outstanding. The singers, Nels Natus, Jennifer Ellis Campani, and Paul Shipper. The instrumentalists, Lisa Grodin, Adam Lamott, William Skeen, Corey Jameson, our harpsichord, and the other guitarist, Paul Saras. I just put together a really unique group of musicians. And it's music that has gestated, and not only in my mind, but in our performances, for about 10 years. We've played combinations of this program. So it had an opportunity to mature in a way that a lot of other programs don't. Well, and the importance of that is much of the music is improvised.
Oh.
They're composed sketches, but you have to make certain determinations as to what instruments will accompany, when will they play, when will they not play, what the fillers are in between vocal lines. The folia that's on the record has no guitar part whatsoever. And I basically improvised while he was playing this folia that I found that a friend of mine found in a Spanish manuscript. And after you've played it a few times, you finally get an idea of, this is what I'm going to want to put down on vinyl, so to speak, or in digital code.
Right. Well, let's listen to some of it, because we know what we're talking about. This is No Sé Yo Cómo Es.
Yep.
Yo siento no sé qué diga, ansioso del aire arder, que con él no acierto estar, y no puedo estar sin él, y no puedo estar sin él. No sé yo cómo es, no sé yo cómo es.
This is music from... obviously, a long time ago. What's the history of this particular song and the music in general?
This is a very interesting collection of pieces. José Marín was a late 17th century Spanish composer, a very controversial figure. He was a priest who was then involved in a murder plot, was publicly defrocked, thrown out, and actually whipped, thrown out of Madrid, was caught trying to come back in and run an extortion ring. It's like an episode out of The Sopranos, or if you've watched The Borgias. But he had a very high reputation for his music. He's your typical, I think, crazy rock and roll guitar player that somehow was also a priest in the late 17th century. And there's quite a bit of his music in manuscript. This comes from one manuscript that is now housed at the British Library that has a fragment of a guitar part underneath it. And you sort of get an idea as to what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to you, the performer, to sort of complement the singer and the setting in order to really give it what I feel is, a good interpretation.
So a lot of this music, even though it's music that's been around for a long time, what remains of it is fragmentary. And you're not just putting it back together because you don't really know exactly, right? So you're making it up to a degree, or how does that work?
We are making a bunch of stuff up. And I said that very selectively because we're live on the radio. The certain pieces are actually composed. Like there's one piece from Peru, El Día de la Fiesta, which the violin parts are composed. And the harmony or the continuo part, that I'm making up. I look at the bass line and I improvise my part accordingly. There's a couple of pieces that have what we call obbligato parts that I'm playing, but for the most part, I embellish them a lot. Mm-hmm. But this is based on a very thorough study, as far as I can get, of the way people played at that time. Like, I'm not about to throw a blues lick into these pieces.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to throw a C minor 7 flat 5 chord in there, you know, that's in jazz voicing, mm-hmm. when it's not appropriate for the vernacular of the epoch and the style.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken me quite a few years to become comfortable, sort of feeling as if I'm a rock musician in this classical, if we can call it that, vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of the recording was to take sort of this picture of Spanish music as it existed around the world, which really is unique.
That's where the Peru comes in.
Yeah, we're Peru, the Rio de Plata mission opera that a friend of mine who's a Jesuit, head of the Jesuit Institute at Boston College, found just sitting in a box.
That sounds like Argentina.
Well, it's on the border of Paraguay, Argentina, and Bolivia.
Okay.
It's one of the Jesuit mission reductions. It's actually the one that was depicted in the mission, the movie The Mission,
oh, okay.
with Jeremy Irons and Robert De Niro.
Right.
This friend of mine who's the head of the Jesuit Institute at Boston College found it. So we do an excerpt of that. Naples was the seat of the Spanish viceroys and had so much rich music coming out of it because it was the confluence of the great Italian violinists, singers, but also that quintessential Spanish element in terms of the musical vocabulary,
mm-hmm.
rhythm and harmony. And in particular, what we've recorded on that is a cantata by George Frideric Handel. Everybody knows Handel from the Messiah. And, mm-hmm. you know, any Christmas period, you got a million Messiah performances, as well as every major opera company does Handel operas now. It's probably, in my mind, he's probably the greatest all-around composer that had ever lived. And this tiny little cantata reflects that because he was in Rome and then went to Naples in the early 18th century. It's around 1708. And he's surrounded by a Spanish court. And somebody must have requested to him, I'm sure for one of the viceroys, we know he visited them, that we would like you to write a short cantata for us. And it's Handel's only piece in Spanish. And it's the only piece where he says on the title page, cantata a voce sola, cantata for solo voice, con guitarra española, with the Spanish guitar. And that's... You know, it's a nice little nugget to have found. It's short and sweet, but it shows Handel could just be a chameleon and do whatever he wanted.
You mentioned, I'm speaking with Richard Savino, who is a Sac State professor, who has a wonderful new album called Kingdoms of Castile, which has been nominated for a Grammy Award. You mentioned this has been sort of 10 years in the making, and how many of the people that are performing this music have been with you during that period of time?
Oh, quite a few. The violinists, everybody, basically. The nature of the group is somewhat malleable based on what the repertoire is I want to record. Like, we did a recording of Mauro Giuliani's music, early 19th century virtuoso guitar music, mm-hmm. a few years back, a double album that's on Koch. And on that record, I recorded the guitar concerto. We did a bunch of chamber music. Monica Huggett's a guest violinist with us on that record. And a bunch of solos, but the cellist William Skeen is on that. The soprano that I use regularly, Jennifer Ellis Campani, is on that. Two years ago, we recorded a Zarzuela CD, a Spanish sort of mini opera. And it's the same exact band, same people are on it. Mm. And in fact, we did an interview. I was interviewed by Jeffrey last year about that recording.
Oh, okay.
It's great. And it's a sort of community of artists that what we do, I come up with an idea. I do the research on it academically as well as just, you know, structurally, getting the music in our hands, making sure they have clean parts they can read. Mm-hmm. The translations are all assembled. I write all the notes. And then I say, okay, we're going to get together and we're going to have a sort of an encampment for 2 weeks. Uh-huh. Now we will have performed these works a lot already, but when the actual recording comes to fruition, we just live together basically for 2 weeks.
I was going to ask you, it sounds like the Beatles in Hard Day's Night or something. Y'all live in the same house?
Exactly.
Or,
you know,
are you going to do a Real World?
Actually, that's not a bad
idea. It's not a bad idea.
Note to self.
Okay. Well, while you're writing that down, we wanted to listen to another track. This is Parte de las Galeras. And what is it?
Oh, okay, Sofia y cubre las aguas cuando mi lucero su luz esforzaba. Como bien avisa la fresca mañana y cuando mis ojos desveladas ansias temores eleva.
That's beautiful. And what's the background on that track?
That is also Jose Maria. No. Oh God, I don't have it. Parte de las Galeras. So that's
Juan Aranas.
Juan Aranas. Aranas. Sorry, I've just had a brain spurt. Juan Aranas was a Spanish composer who published in Rome in the 17th century. Spain had a very interesting situation. It's like certain aspects of American society in which, during McCarthyism, for instance, in the 16th century, carried over into the 17th century, Spain enacted laws that restricted publishing very severely. It's like the book burnings in Germany and actually McCarthyism here.
Was it part of the Inquisition?
It was related to the Inquisition, but it had to do with Spain keeping control over its empire. And anything that was published that could be considered to be blasphemous from a religious aspect or was offensive to the royal throne, you could actually be have the death penalty, be subject to the death penalty for. So many Spanish composers published outside of Spain because Italy had a thriving publishing industry. So Aranas published his works in Rome. And remember, there's a very strong connection between southern Italy, Rome south, and Spain, the Vatican. Spain was considered to be a Catholic state. Los Reyes Católicos was the way the king and queen referred to themselves. Mm-hmm. And Aranas wrote these beautiful, beautiful songs, 4- and 3-, 5-part songs. And sometimes we take a piece that might have multiple parts, but we figure out which part in that song is the most interesting. And we just perform it that way with the other accompaniment parts being performed instrumentally. Mm-hmm. And this is my good friend and incredibly versatile, member of my group, Paul Shipper, who not only sings bass, who not only plays percussion great in castanets, but he also directs operas, and he also plays guitar and lute. He's a great guy to have on the road with you because he can do a myriad of things.
I was going to ask you, do you go on the road? I mean, how often do you go out and play? Because you're teaching classes at Sac State for most of the school
year. Yeah, you do weekends. I played in Dallas, Texas on Sunday, and flew back Monday morning early. It's what you have to do. If you have a repertoire that's set, concerts are held on weekends. And because we've played so much together, we will often just fly in, rehearse 2 hours before the show, the day of the show, play a concert, and fly back out. We live in different places. Not all of us. A few of us live in the Bay Area. One member lives in Portland, two in New York. Musicians just, you do that. Once you get to a certain point and you have a life, a family, and all those other obligations, a job, teaching, you figure out a way to come together. In the words of John Lennon.
I'm speaking with Richard Savino, Sac State professor who's been nominated for a Grammy. I'm glad you mentioned John Lennon because I did want to ask you quickly. You also teach a class in rock history.
Yeah.
So you're all over the place.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to like that you said that, actually. Yeah, well, I grew up a rock guitar player, and I just loved it. And it's actually the thing that turned me on to music, because I played trumpet as a kid, as a very young child. My father played trumpet. I come from a very musical family, Brooklyn, New York, Little Italy, tutto italiani, and I'm actually a dual citizen.
Oh, really?
I have Italian and U.S. passports. But I grew up in New York in this environment. And, if you play trumpet as a kid, you get stuck in marching band. I am not a marching band kind of guy.
Right.
Anybody who knows me, I'm not. And frankly, it was February 9th, 1964, that I had an epiphany. My mother would love that I said I had an epiphany.
Along with a lot of other people.
Exactly. And it changed my life because I saw that you could create music.
The Beatles on Ed Sullivan, we should say.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right, sorry. Well, people don't know that. It's like the best deal day.
The best day ever, right?
And, you saw musicians who could play. You saw musicians who created. And you saw them improvising parts, you know, while they're playing. It was so exciting for me. And I went into the rock and roll music world for quite a few years and led bands that played in some of the most important clubs in New York City in the 70s. And then I said, I think I need to follow another path.
Mm-hmm.
And so I teach this course.
And now you're thinking about whether you're going to be sitting next to Paul McCartney or Lady Gaga at the Grammys.
If that happens.
Which is on February 12th, right?
February 12th.
All right. Well, we wish you luck. Good luck on February 12th at the Grammys. Richard Savino.
Dave, thank you very much. Pleasure.
Thanks for being here. You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Nick Brunner with some sound advice.